WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Hello and welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. As we've been doing recently, we're opening this show with a spiritual UN teachable moment. This one, it's a repeat because it's really important. It's in Chapter 1 of the Spiritual UN General Past Manifesto, begins with the great mandate of the Declaration of Independence. The lead paragraph of that great document says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The lead paragraph of the Declaration of Independence mandates that that reality is our natural reality. Anything that corrupts its existence must essentially be made null and void. This is where it tells us. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another, to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. While the current world reality of war and terror speaks for itself, there's nothing but violence, error, and a corruption of our natural reality. We humans have deviated from the path of natural reality. We're living in an illusion and a lie, an error reality. We must make the great separation from perpetual war and terror, just as the Declaration of Independence mandates. It is not our natural reality. Spiritual UN is a vehicle, a train we can all board to get on the right track for a great separation from unnatural reality. Through the spiritual UN, we make our world uncompromisingly natural, from our rights to the very life of the planet. Let's turn away from a bad system that's killing us all. It's common sense. And on that note, with that quote from Common Sense, or with that mention of Common Sense by Thomas Paine, I'm going to turn the show over to my friend and co-host, Mike Pelichek, an American writer.
Thank you, Chuck, and good to talk to you again, and good to talk to everyone. Tonight we welcome back Phil Hay. Phil is a poet. He's an English teacher at Briarcliff University in Sioux City, Iowa. And we also, we're going to welcome a new guest, Kevin Zawala from Ann Arbor, Michigan. So we're coming to you tonight from Vancouver, where Len is, Fort Lauderdale, where Chuck is, near Duluth, where I am, Sioux City, and Ann Arbor. I'd like to mention quickly, I usually don't read a newspaper. Maybe it shows, but I read the Star Tribune, Minneapolis Star Tribune last week, and I saved the article. It was about a court case regarding a Minneapolis company who somehow they supported, somebody was in trouble for producing or supporting insurgent bomb devices. And, you know, I just had to, I don't know, it's just disgusting, I think. I mean, to me, my way of thinking, I think the Minneapolis companies who make bombs for the U.S. Army should be in trouble, should be the ones in court, because we are the invaders. And I, you know, it is wrong to kill, for anyone to kill, but I really understand more the insurgent, so-called insurgent, which I would call patriotic people who were placing the bomb devices by the sides of the roads. I don't condone that. No, you can't condone that, because they have killed people. But I understand why they do it, more than I understand why the U.S. Army does what it does. And I want to talk a little bit about the Occupy movement. I think it's an amazing happening. I think it's awakening, and I think it's, I hope it keeps going and going and growing. But to me, even if it so-called succeeds, what would that mean if it succeeded, though? We got to think about that for a minute. It would actually, if it would succeed, would be the end of America as it is. To me, that would be great. I think America needs to be to end, and I think it needs to be replaced by a new America, and I think that'd be great. But still, to me, we absolutely still need to get to the root, and root is, I think radical means root, or root means radical, something like that. But I think we still need to get to the truth about 9/11. And actually, if you turn it around, the truth about 9/11 might get you to the success of the Occupy movement. But we need to get to the truth about all these things we talk about, the RFK murder, the JFK, MLK, Waco, Oklahoma City. And some might say, and it might not, they might say that's old history, and we need to move on and let's just go with this Occupy movement because it's the new thing. And that is true in a sense. But I think these things go to the root, and they are the root of our history. And if we need to solve those, we need to have justice for those in order to have, well, to have the truth and to have healing as a country, I think. I need to have it on the front page of all the major newspapers, TV news, even the weekly newspapers, even the Sheldon Northwest Iowa Review. It's got to say that the CIA killed these people, and Paul Wellstone, too. And it's got to feature a four-column color photo of George Bush Jr. and Sr. being taken to jail. Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, all the usual suspects. And maybe that can happen after the revolution, and that's fine with me, but I say it has to happen sometime. We can't just go on without dealing with that. Okay. It's again time for the New American Dream Radio Show, the American Russian novel, All We Need Is More Vodka Radio Hour. We had the winds of our own totalitarian society freezing the land solid, a tortured tundra. Some of those who have spoken the truth are no longer here. You can see their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty because their relatives have sent them to Siberia with a roll of their eyes. So let us begin. Here we go. Scooch up to the samovar. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink and listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We are allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. There is no hidden black military budget. There are no UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we could even look at it. We are not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America, and that is our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing the United States politicians, journalists, and generals who have brought about this long 10-year war and debacle to trial and put on TV, just like O.J., every afternoon, so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. And part of that is becoming the quality of people who are capable of telling the truth. Right now we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. Bush, Cheney, Rice, Powell, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, they all know that, and yet they refuse to acknowledge what they know. They kill and continue to kill. They allow others to die and continue to send others to their deaths for a lie. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country, because our country is surely broken as well. We need a truth commission, and we need to put certain people on the stand, and we need to be allowed to ask questions. And it's up to us, because the journalists are not asking the questions. And the troops are not protecting us. That is somebody's spin on the day's news, somebody's advertising slogan, and someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. Any welcome home parade should proceed directly to the county courthouse for prosecution. They are not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face-to-face with the empire, those who are gathering all over the nation to go face-to-face with the police in the street. You have to know that Barack Obama knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He is complicit. He has lied. He has continued the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan based on a lie, and he knows he is lying. He lied right to our faces on national television when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden was buried at sea, and Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 and 2004 election. And see, there is a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. It went all the way into that hole, and no, there is no blood and no bodies and no luggage scattered or plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. You remember the anthrax letters, two of them, which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written by a Fred Flintstone wannabe with a rock and chisel from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. And like a horror movie, the killer is in the same house with us still. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. But we cannot be afraid.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
The United States is not a police state, and you would be a fat communist soccer lover wearing lederhosen and a tiny Bavarian hat with a feather and a tight jacket and knee socks with buckle shoes, who does not fit in with the rest of the family at Thanksgiving dinner. if you thought so. There are not police everywhere. You do not have to go where the police put you in order to hold your sign and have your freedom of speech like a Bolshevik perched atop a rotting potato crate. This is America. There are not thousands and thousands of people making their living off the war on terror, Homeland Security, the Border Patrol, the U.S. Army, the airport box cutter shampoo bazooka up the wazoo finder guys, the video game industry, the bullet industry, the casket and handcuff and easy bake oven secret spy camera industrial complex. It's just not a police state. The police are not shock troops protecting the rich against the poor. It's not. Say it. It's not.
The New American Dream presents now an American Hero special. Recently, we honored patriotic singer-songwriter Toby Keith. He put a boot up their ass. Awesome. Last week, we honored General Norman Schwarzkopf, General Colin Powell, General Tommy Franks, General something-something Petraeus, and all the other generals out there in charge of our patriotic military who are protecting us from people plowing mountains with oxen and killing them before they fly those oxen over here and dive bomb us with box cutters and not allow us to worship in the churches of our choice. Well, this week we honor Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who uttered those words that will live forever in Catholic hymnals and on the sides of police cars. Just like Madeleine Albright speaking about the children dying in Iraq during the sanctions. These words will someday be carved in stone in the arches of our great universities and county park public toilets. We came, we saw, he died. And then a giggle. The giggle. Oh, that precious little giggle. Parfer face in stone and plopper on top of Mount Rushmore, doing the giggle and then with her dress raising up like Marilyn Monroe, standing atop an air vent. Hillary Clinton, you live in a big house with a famous criminal husband and you work every day to keep the poor poor and the rich rich. We salute you. You are not a pervert or a murderer or an insane person. You are an American hero.
Our first guest tonight, we're proud to welcome back Phil Hay, a Sioux City poet and Briarcliff University English professor. Phil refused to sign up for the draft during the Vietnam War way back in 1967 or so. Continued teaching. They never came for him, and he's still teaching, and we're glad to hear that, and we're glad to have you back on the show, Phil. Hello. I was just welcoming you to the show, Phil. How's the weather out there in Sioux City?
Well, cold last night, but we're surviving.
Okay.
The political weather's more bothersome.
Indeed it is. What do you think about the Occupy movement?
I'm very happy about it.
Me too.
Thinking about what to say on the show, one thing I wanted to say is that the people in Washington are not representing me, and I don't think they're representing the general welfare. I can get away with saying it in public. Representative King is a bigot. He wants to turn the southern border of the United States into something very much like the walls of a concentration camp.
Yeah, or perhaps
that
the Berlin Wall.
That doesn't represent me at all. Nor does the failure to acknowledge Palestine, the lack of respect for unions. I want to contribute a very old American dream to support the new American dream. I was listening to a conservative radio talk show not too long ago, and they were ranting on about the Constitution, and then one of the callers asked the strangest question: what is the purpose of the Constitution? And the host repeated it. I'm here with an answer. It's called the preface to the Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. I think if anybody believes the Constitution had that statement, they have some general welfare to think about. gee, you could actually tax the rich and help the middle class, help the poor. Strangest thing. Providing for the common defense. I had a great experience meeting up with a student I had in 1969. And he, too, avoided the draft. And he talked to me about how he came to realize he was being patriotic. And I certainly agreed with him on that. I think that the people in the Occupy movements are definitely being patriotic. Let's, you know, let's have the street people take over again. That kind of reminder of the 60s is very hopeful to me.
Well, I grew up around those same times, and I used to go demonstrating and so forth, and it seemed like we actually made some things change in the country, but this Occupy movement is the first time since the 60s that I've really had hope that the people of America care enough to get out there and raise their voices. So I'm certainly hoping that something will come of it. Well, Bill, do you have some poems for us?
Yeah, for nothing more, just pointing out, you know, that Wall Street should not be in control, and other organizations like Wall Street.
Did you bring us a poem to read tonight, or
sure?
Okay, we'd like to hear it then.
This is about all the people who are stuck in front of their television sets, not knowing what's going on. It's called "When All's Said and Done." When all's said and done, it's not all said and done. Somewhere in a booth, a man hunching over a microphone hears the countdown: 5, 4, 3. Takes a deep breath, gets ready to announce the end of the world. Is on air saying, but first a few words from our sponsors. And just as quickly, the decision to end the world is postponed once again. And so the audience goes on exactly as before, getting a beer, going to the bathroom, whatever they planned to do if the world did not actually come to an end, returning just in time to hear the announcer say, now this, and watch the seamless world go on.
Do you have another one for us, Bill?
Yeah. Sometimes you can't take care of all the problems of the world, but you can take care of your own. You ask about the weather. This is a poem about the weather called Green Tomatoes. The day before a night of frost, I am picking green tomatoes, and they come to about 20 pounds. What shall I do? What shall I do? Act as if the year were 1932, the Depression hitting hard, and be grateful. Thinking of making green tomato salsa, green tomato chutney, even green tomato chili with whatever critter meat I can find. Even thinking of making wine. I knew a man who did just that, but with red tomatoes. And I know the impulse, seeing red tomatoes hanging on the vine like huge grapes. But he didn't quite have the hang of it, and it tasted off. Still, I admire his spunk, and I know how to prevent his mistakes. So I think I'll do it, but next year, when I have a garden full of ripe ones. For now, I'm happy with the bounty of green tomatoes, and I've got to get cooking right now.
I like that. You know, it happens, green tomatoes are one of my favorite, I think it's a fruit, actually, not a vegetable. It's, anyway, that's another story.
I have a footnote to add to that.
Okay.
Most of the tomatoes I picked turned red when I brought them inside.
Ah! Oh, well.
So, we've been eating pretty good.
Sounds like some good eating, though, that, you know, couldn't be much fresher than if you pick them yourself. What, can you tell, is there an Occupy movement in Sioux City, or are you, hearing about it third hand?
I haven't had the schedule that allows me to get out with them, but I know a lot of the people, so I'm in touch.
Ah, well, that sounds like me. I've been meaning to get down to see what's the movement here in Fort Lauderdale, and I haven't made it either. here we are, the activist types or whatever, and we don't go out and be part of it. You know? We're contributing in our own ways, so. Though.
I hope so.
I think we have time for one more poem if you have one, Phil. Short one.
I didn't prepare to read three, so.
Okay, well that's all right. We can just keep talking. That's fine. You've been in Sioux City for a very long time. Have you seen a lot of changes over the years?
Well, it's a nicer place to live than it used to be.
Really? How so?
Well, there's more culture, a lot of cultural activities, and a little bit more intellectual activity.
Mm-hmm.
We got a new museum, which is very nice. Could show a lot more than the old one.
Uh-huh.
The Lewis and Clark Center has programs going all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Prairie Center at Briarcliff, which is sponsoring programs all the time about this area. So, if I hear anybody complain, there's nothing to do. I could give them a list.
Uh-huh. That's good. Where is Sioux City in Iowa? Where is Sioux City? North, south, east, west?
Oh.
I know it's in Iowa. That's all I know.
Sioux City is on the west coast. We're about 80 to 90 miles north of Omaha, Council Bluffs, Missouri.
Okay.
A friend of mine calls it East Dakota. The weather is definitely Dakota.
Okay.
The Lost Hills are beautiful.
All right. I was curious because my wife grew up in Manchester, so... But that's a good bit farther east.
I've been living here a long time, and I can stand to live a few more years, I hope.
Well, that's good. Well, more power to you, Phil. We'll look forward to having you visit with us again. I guess until next time, just keep up the good fight out there and teach the children well. So.
Well, it's always nice talking to you, and more power to the newer American dream.
Thank you, Phil, and have a good night.
People believing again.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first. Some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
This portion of tonight's program is brought to you by the folks at Drones R Us. We brought you smart bombs and video war games, protecting the American empire and the 1,000 military bases around the world, expanding, growing. For what reason, we have no idea. Death from the air, because it's death that makes America strong. We are boys and girls who love our toys. They give us joy. We love our toys. We love America. Constitution not included.
Balua, Guernica, Libya, Bosnia, North Vietnam, Kandahar, Baghdad, Dresden, Hiroshima. It just goes on and on. Shock and awe. Just cause. Operation Iraqi Freedom. The war to end all wars. Be all you can be. The United States Air Force, a global force for good. The land of the free, the home of the brave. Fighter jets streaking over the stadium. Mary had a little lamb. It just goes on and on. His fleece was white as snow. And it just goes on and on. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. and it makes no sense whatsoever.
I'd like to now welcome our special guest, Kevin Zawala. Kevin is from Michigan. I believe he lives in Ann Arbor. He's a motivational speaker, author, poet, hip-hop artist, peace activist. He is a graduate of the University of Michigan with a Bachelor of Arts in Economic Spanish and Global Change. And he is all-around Mr. Peace. Kevin, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. I'm doing great.
We finally get
right
to talk. Tell me, you have graduated, and what are you doing now?
Well, yeah, I got done at U of M Ann Arbor back in 2007. I had degrees there with Econ and Spanish, and I got done with my MBA over at Wayne State University back in 2010. I was working at an auto supplier for about 5 years, but now I'm fully pursuing my calling and greater purpose, I feel, which is speaking to youth all over the Midwest. I do school assemblies. I also do a lot of positive, conscious hip-hop. So I do a lot of performances there, and I'm also very involved in the peace movement.
You get to speak to schools. That's pretty cool. Usually they just have, they don't have peace people in usually to those school assemblies. I've been to a few of those. That's pretty good. Do they approach you, or do you approach them for that?
It kind of goes both ways. What I keep seeing more and more in these schools, and a lot of the Support Our Youth task force that keep getting formed, especially here in Michigan, have to deal with issues surrounding violence, whether it's self-inflicted or on another person. And so when they hear about the peaceful nature that I try to bring to the table and the message of passion and trying to ignite some type of purpose into all the hearts of the youth that I speak to, a lot of times they do approach me.
Is this, in your bio, it's Kevin Zawala or Mr. Peace. I'm just wondering if that Mr. Peace is kind of your tag for the school, the speeches in school?
Yeah, it is. Really, it was given to me back in 2006. I started an event in Ann Arbor, Peace Day, promoting Ethnic and Cultural Equality Day. And since that time, I've held six annual Peace Days and done a lot of different diversity celebrations all over Michigan. And so I had some of my friends that started calling me Peacemaker and Mr. Peace and Peace Man, and it just kind of stuck. And so now a lot of the youth, they always know me as Mr. Peace. And I'm hoping some of what I've been experiencing in my life is starting to rub off on them.
Would you like to tell us about some of your projects, and then after that, maybe we could talk about the Occupy movement. What are some of your projects or causes or that are close to your heart that you're involved in right now?
Right. So specifically on the subject of social justice, I've been the state coordinator now for a little over a year here in Michigan for the Department of Peace campaign, and that's to establish a U.S. cabinet-level Department of Peace to complement the Department of Defense, to assist with more funding being devoted to nonviolent solutions and preventative solutions when it comes to reducing recidivism rates in the prison systems, nonviolent funding for programs in the school systems, even helping with international conflict and as well as here in the U.S. But what my main efforts, though, have focused on this summer and going into the fall of 2011 are trying to narrow the scope of that nationwide the Department of Peace and just trying to get one here in Michigan, trying to establish a commission for peace and justice here in the state-level government and to be the first state to have something like that. So all summer long, I've been going around the state with a roadshow, a budget priorities roadshow, showing people where their federal tax dollars go, and with the majority going towards Pentagon spending and some other buckets that don't really add up in terms of what I see as fair and just, trying to educate people as to how they can take action, calling on their Congress, and really trying to reverse some of the trends that we've been seeing. So it's been a project called the Movable Peace here in Michigan, trying to move peace all throughout the state through this roadshow exhibit, through concerts, through peace walks that we did all summer long, and really just trying to raise more awareness about these social justice issues.
The movable piece. Do you do county fairs, things like that?
Yeah. So we're trying to target primarily farmers markets, community festivals, art fairs, and trying to go into territory where we weren't just preaching to the choir. So we hit a lot of and we kept a very bipartisan approach throughout the summer, but we were going into very Republican-based territories as well as Democratic, and then we're really trying to show a more progressive angle and approach as to what our view was, and trying to look more towards a people's budget that would actually look towards balancing the spending across all the various categories in terms of where your federal tax dollars go.
The county fair crowd is more used to seeing National Guard exhibits or displays. How do they react to a peace exhibit at one of those places, one of those events?
That's right. You know, I had, I had talked to thousands of people throughout the summer, and we stopped at around 30 cities all across Michigan, from Detroit to Sheboygan and Traverse City and all over the place. And really, I had some people that would take their whole bag of 100 pennies, because we had an interactive penny poll exhibit where they could divide 100 pennies like they would 100 of their tax dollars. And some people would take the whole 100 and put it all into Pentagon spending. They were very pro-military. Then I had some other ones that, you know, wanted a trap door on that tube so that if the money went in there, it would just fall through and it wouldn't keep adding up, you know. So it was a very balanced thing that I saw. I mean, people that were at the far end of the spectrum and then at the other end of the spectrum that really wanted to devote more towards education, towards housing, towards the environment, social needs, but then some that really wanted to just kind of balance it out all across the board as well.
Any antagonism towards your message from the people?
Yeah. I mean, overall, you know, the response was very positive. I tried to really use a very nonviolent approach, I guess, when I was speaking with everybody, because there's some people that really do come and try to attack you as an individual and try to say that, you know, these numbers that you have and statistics are not right. We were currently using the 2011 proposed budget from Obama from the Friends Committee on National Legislation over in D.C. So the numbers were accurate. But for the people that did kind of come at you very violently almost, I really tried to find some type of common ground with them and was able to diffuse those situations and really try to show them that there is another way that's possible.
Well, that's commendable. You're brave to go out there and try that, and good for you. Could we talk a little bit about the Occupy movement? I know you had told me before that you weren't yet directly involved with it, but I'm sure you have an opinion about it, and maybe you know some people who are in it. Could we talk about the Occupy movement for a minute?
Yeah, sure thing. I have friends being involved with the Department of Peace. I got friends all over the U.S. that are involved in Occupy Oakland and Occupy Miami, and now we have Occupy Detroit going on here. We also have bases that are set up in Ann Arbor and in Lansing, right next to the Capitol. And what I've been hearing a lot back from the people that are occupying these areas is the need for nonviolent communication skills, and that in order to maintain a peaceful resistance going forward, that we have seen episodes of that happening with these peaceful marches and whatnot on the news, that we do need some way to connect the people. So, you know, whether it's, you know, concert celebrations and through the arts, where we can have people come together and connect at a deeper level so that they have that trust factor there and that they know what to do in these situations. We also need some people to come in and, I believe, hold some workshops and hold some trainings that are teaching these people some, you know, valuable skills that they can use in these situations that are just going to, in my opinion, they're going to get more intense, you know, potentially more violent as we move forward.
Kevin, how can people, and before we close, I'd like to say thank you for being on. I hope you'll, I know our okay. interviews are relatively short, and we hope you'll be able to come back on another time. But before we do that, could you give people a way to connect with you? Is there a website or somewhere where they can go to get in touch with you and be a part of your work?
Yes, definitely. I would encourage people to go to MovablePeace.org. That's M-O-V-E-A-B-L-E, peace.org. Also, the PeaceAlliance.org. Feel free to check that out. And then to connect with myself personally, Facebook or YouTube or Twitter, Mr. Peace 101. You can just find me on those websites. And I would love to interact with people. I'm always trying to connect people and really push towards creating a culture of sustainable peace.
Kevin, thank you very much. And I'll be in touch and we'll try and see if you have time to come back on soon. I appreciate your time very much.
Thanks so much for all you do, too. Great.
Okay. Take care. Have a good night.
Have a great night.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
So I jumped on the fence and I yelled at the house, "Hey, what gives you the right to put millions in prisons, bomb other countries, torture, make me pay taxes for the military? Sign, sign, everywhere sign. Health care, road repair, build school here. Cold War, Iraq War, war on drugs. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the signs?"
Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. The Tinker Farm family, Sam, Ray, Herb, along with a couple dozen local farmers, have taken over Conoposik Farms, the large area hog confinement factory farm corporation. Sam Tinker, the negotiator for the Rebel Farm Group out on the road by the mailbox, has asked to talk to Joe Coffey, Coffey Joe, the Democratic candidate for Congress. Jane and Joe are driving onto the standoff through all the crowds, the media, everyone they know. Joe looked out the passenger window at the lineup. "Slow down," he said, and Jane took her foot off the gas. An assortment of vehicles lined both sides of the highway. People walked carrying lawn chairs toward the mile turnoff to Conoposik Family Farms, where the State Patrol was stopping anyone from turning onto the gravel road. But the people kept coming, and many decided to pay the $5 per person to sit in the hillside pasture of a farm 1/2 mile south of Conoposik, where you can see the goings-on at the mailbox intersection of the drive and gravel road. The bumpy hillside was already almost full. Families ate picnic lunches on blankets spread over the dried cow dung. High school kids played catch with a frisbee. Others sat in their favorite deck chairs in their vacation clothes, watching the helicopters in the sky and the half-dozen television trucks on the gravel road, along with the dozens of law enforcement vehicles running around and hundreds of National Guardsmen standing in the corn with their green helmets and bayonets tassel high to back up the State Patrol, sheriff's deputies, city cops, and federal agents on the road.
Jane reached the turnoff, pulled up to the State Patrolman in charge, standing in front of his car, parked on an angle with its red and blue lights flashing. "Joe Coffey," she said, in her best Marlboro hangover gravel voice. "All right," said the officer. He pointed down the road. "You may proceed to the command vehicle." Jane picked out the white van with blue lettering and small antennae sticking out. "Thanks," she said. As she pulled close, a man in a white shirt and blue tie wearing a blue windbreaker stepped down from the van's driver's side with a cellular phone pressed to his ear. He walked to Jane's side. She saw the FBI white lettering on the jacket. The man leaned over, told Jane and Joe to leave their car and walk with the two state patrolmen by the van waiting for them. Joe and Jane were handed off to the patrolmen, each with a cellular to their ears, speaking to the FBI agents, the patrolmen back at the road, and the Odd Hope team at the mailbox. The coffees walked between the patrolmen, gravel crunching under their feet, past officers standing by their cars, smoking and chatting. The radios inside the vehicles squawked, with women's voices marking every move. A steady line, like ants to a picnic, now connected the greenish-brown hillside pasture to the highway. The coffees smelled the pigs as they drew closer to the mailbox. They noticed the men in green camo and varied colored caps walking inside the compound and the pickup trucks parked in a line, bumper to bumper, cutting off the west pasture access. A man in camouflage pants and shirt, wearing a yellow cap, sat on the hood of one of the pickups, holding a rifle straight upward between his legs. Another sat on the roof of the truck with his feet resting inside the passenger window. Two black helicopters circled overhead, making it difficult to hear anything else and making this area closer to the mailbox more intense, like arriving for work on the kill floor.
The patrolman stopped, held Joe and Jane firmly by their arms, and looked straight ahead to the other men with cell phones to their ears. "Okay," one said, and the four began the walk, the final 50 yards to the mailbox DMZ. They stopped within 10 yards of the green John Deere tractor box that marked the entry into the half-mile lane up to the first confinement in the office building. A tall, thin man in a white shirt with open collar introduced himself as an FBI special agent. Sheriff Mark Smith nodded hello, and the coffees raised their chins in response. Joe put the tips of both hands into his pockets to rub the toilet paper he had stored to wipe nervous sweat, as good luck that he would not be shot today. Jane was taken to the south side of the road by a blonde FBI agent, given coffee, and asked to stay out of the way of the traffic on the road.
The FBI agent and Mark Smith stood side by side in front of Joe. "We're going up and engage the terrorist leader," said the agent. "Is that Sam Tinker?" asked Joe with a smile. "I saw him on television." Sam stood alone by the mailbox, talking to a short county deputy. In less than 2 days, Sam had acquired the look of the jungle with his Castro beard and hair, his green fatigues and black boots. His green Pioneer seed corn cap sitting cocked on his head said he'd like to get this over so he could get some real work done. Sam's huge right hand gripped his old 12 gauge, the Remington he'd received from Herb on his 12th Christmas. In his left hand was a cell phone where Herb and the other men in the command center were listening in. Behind Sam, in the windows of the office building in first confinement, a dozen farmers from three different countries with seed corn caps on backwards aimed deer rifles at the heads of every man around Sam. "Yes, it is." The annoyed agent looked at Joe and then Sheriff Smith, as if to ask, "Whose side's this guy on?" "Listen, Joe," said Smith, "these are dangerous men. They are not who you thought they were. They've killed two people already. It would kill every one of us if they had the chance." "Two people?" asked Joe. "I didn't hear that." "We have sources inside the compound," said the agent. "Two unarmed guards. We need you to get them to release the frickin' hostages, Joe." That's what Smith said. He moved in front of the agent and put his nose nearly touching Joe. "This isn't your frickin' glory day, Coffee. There are people in there, good men with families and kids. You do what we say. You don't go grandstanding for these television cameras. Don't get stars in your eyes, son. This is men's business." He stepped back.
The FBI agent, an older man, though too tall to be very old, Jack thought, stepped up. He put his weight on his right leg and took a deep cleansing breath, then rested his cell phone on his belt in his left hand and seemed to be checking the time of day by the sun. "Anything they ask has to go through us," He tapped his chest with the black cell phone. Anything they tell you has to be reported. He tapped himself again. Am I going in there? Said Joe. He looked up at the compound, at the scattering of green and overall clothed men staring at him, at the rebel flag barely moving. No, said the agent, that's just another hostage. You talk to them here with us. Let's go.
Smith and the agent turned around, parted, and Joe got in line. They marched to the mailbox where Sam Tinker was sharing the end of a joke with the county deputy. In formation, the agent and Smith moved Joe into a parallel position opposite Sam Tinker. Coffee Joe, said Sam. He snatched his shotgun out of his right hand with his left, extended his right hand to shake. Joe reached out, but the agent grabbed Joe's wrist. No touch, said the agent. No touch, said Sam mockingly. His face turned serious, and he moved his rifle back into his right hand. We'll talk to Coffee Joe, said Sam. You can talk, said Sheriff Smith. Not here, said Sam. Here, or not at all, said the agent. Sam twirled on the gravel like he was on ice skates, began to plod down the lane like Bigfoot back to the woods. Wait! The agent put up his right hand for Sam to stop, put the cell phone to his left ear. Sam stopped, turned, and waited there. Eddie Zook, perched with his legs wrapped around a branch in an oak tree way back in the grove, hugged the trunk, sighted down the rifle scope into the back of the agent's skull. The agent talked on the cell with his back turned to Sam and the rest. He looked one way down the road, then the other. He watched out into the corn, not seeing the guardsmen, out onto the hillside without seeing the masses gathered, and up at the helicopters circling like turkey vultures as if seeking divine intervention. He flapped the phone closed, turned, and walked up to the mailbox. Sam deigned to walk back. I communicated with Governor Smooth, said the agent. Governor, said Smith. Joe looked back to try to spot James. Governor says Mr. Coffee can go inside the compound, said the agent. Sam put up his shotgun arm as if bidding Joe to come on. Tomorrow, said the agent. Sam put his arm down. Tomorrow? Why tomorrow? Governor says tomorrow. Mr. Coffee can go inside tomorrow, repeated the agent. What's the governor got to do with it? Asked Sam, in a voice Joe wished he could imitate. He's commander-in-chief of this operation, said the agent. Says who? Said Sam. Says me, said the agent. Tomorrow. Same time. Same freaking mailbox. He touched the toy tractor box with his open hand and walked away. Headed to a brown Ford with blue Gatorade and a thermos, Salem lights in the glove box. Smith gave Joe and Jane back to the two state patrolmen who escorted them to their car. Jane looked out the back window to negotiate the half mile of staring law enforcement gauntlet to the highway, where she turned and headed home.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO deer hunters sitting in the trees are about average.
And that wraps up another New American Dream radio show. We thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll come back next week, same time, same place. We hope you'll stay tuned for Black Op Radio with our producer, Lena Sanek. Thanks to WorldNewsTrust.com and TheSpiritualUN.org for sponsoring our show. Good night, Mike.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the new American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.